Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
I am, in fact, now allowed to trade in my my F-15 and upgrade to the F-22 Raptor, so that if the government comes after us, I want to make sure that I also can get a 200-shell 12-gauge shotgun later on today at Cabela's here in Southwest Florida.
Exactly right. And Tony Bruno's a good shot.
I got to go get some gator. I got to go get some of them big salamander. What are those big lizards?
Iguanas.
What?
Iguana.
I got to get some iguana.
In the wetlands.
The wetlands of Delaware.
The wetlands of Delaware.
I think Joe went to the John Hines area. You know, they're near the airport, and it's the John Hines Wildlife Preserve. I think that's the last place Joe and Hunter was hunting back there, too, looking for some crack chicks.
down there behind the
airport on Rat Road, where I used to go and make out with chicks back in the day in Southwest Philly.
Weed Chick 420, or what was the...
Weed Slut 420.
Weed Slut 420.
I know her.
Yes.
I know her.
Yes.
That was your CB handle back in the day.
Yes. And she has
got Wheat Slut Day. You got your ears on Wheat Slut 420. This here's the rubber ducky.
Wheat Slut 420. Can you confirm front hole or back hole?
Oh, no.
All right, let's get it back on track. Family-friendly program here.
Yes.
I saw these two stories, Tony, and one thing I will say about Tony Bruno is he can't stand hypocrisy, and he doesn't care what your opinion is as long as you're consistent with it. So I want to give you these two stories just in a brief recap, and I've got some audio video to point out the hypocrisy here. So there was this story of a Pride logo and some LGBTQ plus, not artwork, but on streets. And a bunch of these young punks that, you know, show up with ATVs and dirt bikes and cars, and they do these donuts and these wheelies and everything like that, they pretty much destroyed that Pride logo on some public property. And they were hit with a very, very harsh sentence. I believe it was 3 years in jail. But I want to point out this hypocrisy, as you had pro-Palestinian protesters this past weekend just a few blocks away from the White House, where they were defaming and vandalizing a statue, and there was a law enforcement officer there to try to prevent the destroying of the property. And this is K1, boys. I want to play you this video of this officer being pelted with objects, and you tell me about hate crimes and consistency and nobody being above the law and the hypocrisy that's going on in this country right now. K1, let's play this, and then, Tony, I want to get your reaction. A lot of curse words, a lot of vandalism on the statue. This officer's protecting the statue. He's grabbed a can of spray paint from somebody. Now watch as they start pelting him here. I believe it's coming up here in this video.
And here's the thing about this incident, Nick. That's the statue of Rochambeau, who was very prominent in helping the United States, helping us win the Revolutionary War. And all of a sudden, they sent out a park ranger.
Yeah.
That's a park ranger. That's not a cop. And then the White House knew this was going to happen because they put fences up all around the White House a couple of days before.
Yeah.
And then they leave this poor guy out here, and they're throwing stuff at him. They're spray painting a statue.
Yeah, I'm not
sure
where
they're doing all kinds of vile things. And he's like, you know, it's a joke. They didn't send any police there. They sent park rangers out for a riot that they knew was going to happen. Now, the other story is, now there's a couple of instances where guys were doing donuts on a Pride mural on a street.
Yep.
But the one that was the biggest outrage, and it really got my goat, is up in Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I love the West Coast, but now we have to try to figure out which of the three West Coast states are the most insane right now. Oregon, Washington, or California is always number one because they're the biggest.
Yeah.
But now you've got Washington State and Oregon trying to outdo each other on stupidity, because there is a public park where kids go out and they have their little skateboard thing. Not even a skateboard, they're little scooters. And they're not like motorcycles. They're not like big cars doing sideshows and destroying the thing. These kids weren't purposely going over the pride thing. The pride flag was painted in the middle of the street where a park is, and those kids, and you see it in all parks, the kids are on the sidewalk, they go up, they come down a ramp, and then they go into the street. They weren't trying that. They weren't scuffing it up intentionally. They were riding back and forth and then going back into the park, which is right, that street is right in front of a public park where people go and do recreational stuff. But it's ridiculous that, and by the way, there was a reporter in Spokane who I just absolutely tortured. And he got ratioed, the biggest ratio ever on social media, because he was like, look at this. I just saw this right in front of my eyes. These kids are committing a felony. They're scuffing up the pride parade in the middle of the street. And if you watch the tape, watch that tape in particular, the little teenagers, not even teenagers, probably early teenagers. It's an absolute joke.
They looked like they were maybe 10, 11,
yeah,
12.
Yeah, and this is
like
what
that.
Media does. Now, this is not some random dude posting this. This is a guy who's an accredited member of the media in Spokane, Washington, reporting this story and being outraged that two kids were riding a scooter, and it wasn't electrified.
Here's
it wasn't
a thought.
Even an electrified thing.
Here's a thought. If they really don't want anybody driving over it, don't put it in a freaking intersection.
Especially in front of a park. I mean, come on now. Listen, again, we talk about it all the time. You know, listen, you can have Pride Month. I don't care anymore. Do whatever you want. But these fringe lunatics have hijacked this moment and have made it bad for just the everyday, good-natured, happy LGBTQ people who don't want to deal with this stuff. They don't want to be part of this.
Right.
Most people that I know who are LGBTQ, gays, lesbians, whatever, they don't want to be a part of this. They think it's ridiculous that we have to have 30 consecutive days to tell everybody that you're proud. I'm proud every day. Say it loud. Can I say I'm white and I'm proud, or is that wrong?
I don't know. In this day and age, you got to be careful.
Remember
Tony
James
Bruno.
Brown. Say it loud. Yeah. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm blacker than a lot of people who claim to be black. I've been in the sun, baby, and I'm an Italian and I'm a Sicilian.
Look at you.
And I don't go out and sunbathe.
Yeah.
I'm out there on the lot, you know, overseeing the construction of the Paradiso Bruno.
Yeah.
So when you're out in the hot, hot sun, you know, you're going to get some sun. But I put sunscreen on. Put a hat on. You got to be careful out there, folks, in the hot sun.
What kind of SPF are you using these days? What's your SPF number, Tony Bruno?
I go SPF 120.
120.
Wow, very
120
nice.
Now, yes. Wow. Or 420, depending on what time of the afternoon it is.
Tony Bruno, also known as Weed Slut 420.
By the way, we have to get it up. The only thing that makes Philadelphia look great these days with all the other stuff going on is Kyle Schwarber
The
Phillies. Mr. June Boom himself. I was watching the postgame show last night on TNT, TBS. And that's a great show with Pedro Martinez.
Yep.
And Curtis Granderson. The love that the Phillies are getting right now from everywhere in Bay. Listen, the Yankees are good. The Dodgers are good. But the Phillies, who have been good consistently the last few years, and each year we say, well, this team looks like they can go all the way. Right now, and now, of course, losing JT Realmuto with knee surgery with a meniscus tear, right, that's not going to help. But this team seems to find ways to win. They go up to Boston, and there he is, Kyle Schwarber, Mr. June.
Yeah, baby.
Hits a home run on the first pitch of the game, hits two home runs. And they had a stat on that game last night that Kyle Schwarber now, historically, because everybody said, why is he a leadoff man? All he does is hit home runs and strikes out. He has a better OPS than the greatest leadoff men in history, Ricky Henderson.
Oh,
all of
wow.
these guys. When you look at the list of great leadoff men, Kyle Schwarber has better numbers than the historically greatest leadoff hitters ever, because most of the leadoff hitters weren't big home run hitters. You think of a big guy like Kyle Schwarber as a number 4 or 5 hitter, right?
Yep.
Cleanup guy.
Yep.
And people went, why do you have Kyle Schwarber batting leadoff? Look at his statistics. It is absolutely mind-numbing how good this guy is as a leadoff hitter. And he comes up and hits the first pitch out of Fenway and then hits the other pitch right down the middle the second time up. And that's what sets the tone for the Phillies letting the other team know, hey, listen, we're going to start off and put a one spot up on you as soon as the game starts. So that's why the Phillies are playing well. They just, everybody's contributing. Their starting pitching is great. And the biggest point is, even though the Phillies have five starters, when you get to the postseason, you only need three guys. Mm-hmm. You have to have three. And the Phillies have three studs between, you know, what's his name, who pitched last night?
Nola, Wheeler, and Suarez.
Wheeler has eight wins now. Aaron Nola's pitching great. And Ranger Suarez.
Yep.
Those three. Everybody else then is an extra arm in the postseason. So you'll use starters and long relievers. The Phillies are really set up. And I don't want to be, oh, they're going to win the World Series. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say that this team right now, when we looked at the last few years, this may be the best constructed team and the most together team we have seen in a long, long time here.
I agree. They look great this year. And, you know, Schwarber's a guy who looks like he, you know, loves his protein. He loves his beef. Probably loves a good Nathan's beef hot dog. I don't think Kyle Schwarber's ever going to go vegan, but Joey Chestnut apparently has. And when I think of the 4th of July, there's a lot of great things about this nation, our birthday. But, man, I love watching that hot dog eating contest. And you talk about the GOAT. Joey Chestnut to hot dogs is the equivalent of Caitlin Clark to women's basketball.
She hasn't. Not yet.
And he's now out of it. He's out of it because he went vegan, and they will not allow him to
put Caitlin Clark in the Joey Chestnut range right now. Come on, man.
Hey, Tony, it's June. I'm trying to get through a show in sports radio. I got to give out a hot take. I got to say something I don't believe to get to the finish line.
No, you don't. You have to believe. Now, here's the best part of the story. So Joey Chestnut wins it every year. He's the GOAT. Nobody's even close. In fact, the guy who's now the leader, I think we'll have the latest tote board on FanDuel on what, you know, what the odds are. The guy who's now the supposed favorite to win the hot dog, the Nathan's contest, lost by like 50 hot dogs last year to Joey Chestnut. So Joey Chestnut, meanwhile, pulling what a lot of people want Caitlin Clark to do, say, listen, I'm too big for this. I'm going to go to my own league and then start another. But here's where it's a violation, as we used to say.
Yeah.
You can't have a vegan hot dog eating contest unless they pay you a lot of money to eat inedible vegan hot dogs, because you want to stick it to the Nathan's people, and they're going to give you more money even if you only eat 10 of those nasty meatless hot dogs.
Yeah.
You can't have a hot dog that doesn't have meat. A hot dog is indistinguishable ground up product. It's like sausages, except it's really, really mushy. And when they make them, and you've seen them make hot dogs, it looks nasty.
I got to say something that's going to be a very controversial take. I was meatless for almost 10 years. I have eaten those vegan hot dogs. I got to tell you,
they're good.
They're not that bad. They kind of taste, I mean, what does a hot dog taste like anyway? It tastes like the condiments you put on it. It tastes like the bun.
Mustard.
It tastes like mustard. It tastes like pickles. It
mustard.
Tastes like, exactly.
Mustard.
So, it's not really that terrible. I'm just saying.
I know mustard. That, but it's sacrilege. Mustard. It's sacrilege.
Do you know an interesting little tidbit here? American hot dogs are not allowed to be sold in Europe because they are so bad for you.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Beyond Meat, remember when it was a big deal? Yeah. Their stock went through the roof. People, oh, buy this Beyond Meat. Now they're like in the reef. They're in like a separate section where nobody goes and buys it anymore. They can't give away this fake meat stuff. And it's awful. I know it doesn't have any taste. It doesn't matter. A hot dog on a grill smells. Do those vegan hot dogs, when you put it on the grill, do they smell like hot dogs?
Yeah, they actually do.
They do.
They inject some kind of meat smell into
it. It's true.
They inject it into the front hole.
When I get meat sweats, I want to earn meat sweats. You don't get meat sweats eating fake meat. You know what I'm saying?
All right, we got to go. Bruno, great
yes,
stuff.
Love you guys.
Miss Robin, have a great day.
Next Wednesday and Thursday, Tony, Bruno, Miss Robin will be in with
June
Dawn, myself.
And the first day of summer. Mark it down, kids. It's going to be awesome, baby.
It will, baby.
We'll talk about manhole maintenance policy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And trans-friendly front holes.
I am not going to be able to control next Wednesday show.
Nope. Warning everybody.
Trigger warning in effect.
Oh.
Here we go.
All right, everybody.
Thank you, brother. There he is, Tony Bruno. Vegan hot dogs with
mustard.
Yes, and onions and relish and pickles. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll get to our morning mystery movie clip. Dawn's got a big three on the way, and Hollywood and their trigger warnings and spoiler alerts. Very interesting story. We'll hit on that before we get to the cut sheet. Part 2, back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We're going to get to Dawn's Big Three coming up here in just a moment, but it's 9:22 and it's time for our morning mystery movie clip.
And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So once again, Jones, what was briefly yours is now mine. What a fitting end to your life's pursuits. You're about to become a permanent addition to this archaeological find. Who knows? In 1,000 years, even you may be worth something.
Son of a...
I'm afraid we must be going now, Dr. Jones. Our prize is awaited in Berlin. But I do not wish to leave you down in that awful place, all alone.
Slimy pig, you let me go! Stop it!
Think you know what it is? Call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
And this movie came out on this day in 1981.
Wow.
Yes, 1981. Feels like an eternity ago.
It was.
It was. It was the year you were born, correct?
No.
No?
1980.
Okay.
Last year of Gen X, baby.
Gotcha. Well, caller 12, if you know it, 855-839-1210, a four-pack of tickets to see the Reading Phillies take on the Somerset Patriots at First Energy Stadium in Reading, PA on Fireworks Night, Friday, July 5th. For tickets, visit readingphillies.com.
I would like to say this week, Henry has already put in more effort in the Morning Mystery Movie clips than Anthony did the entire time he was here.
So. Anthony, you are fired.
Thank you very much, Henry, for putting some effort into the Morning Mystery Movie clip. I appreciate it.
Yes.
There's always a theme to it.
Yeah, and Henry, if you give us like a three-day stretch of like Rocky 2, Jaws, and Home Alone, then you are fired, much like Anthony. Anthony was not fired for those who missed the last week.
Of course not.
All right, 9:24. Let's get to Dawn Stensland's Big Three at 9.
It's the Big Three at 9 on Kale and Company.
Sponsored by Stiles CFO Services. Just out now, consumer prices. It's all about the economy, stupid. Consumer prices rose 3.3% in May compared to a year ago, easing slightly, I will say, from last month. But this is critical data that certainly will influence the policymakers at the Federal Reserve, who are set to announce a decision about whether or not to move its benchmark interest rate. So with inflation sticking at this level above their 2% target, the Fed expected to project cuts to its benchmark rate just once, maybe one rate cut, maybe two by this year's end. But it looks like, by all projections, it looks like maybe once before the critical November 5th elections, and then probably, if you listen to all the pundits, too little too late to impact the economy and all of the high interest rates and all of that prior to the election. So the Fed's rates policies typically have a significant impact, obviously, on the cost of mortgages, auto loans, credit card rates, which are sky high, other forms of consumer and business borrowing. And so not, it's a real disappointment for potential home buyers as well as others.
I don't know, Dawn. I'm used to 7% for this and a credit 7%. Card at 28% for that. It's just, yeah, but the stock market's great.
Yeah.
Just settle down over there.
The rich get richer. Yeah. But so not great. It depends on which news agency, obviously, you rely on, because some are saying, oh, good news for Biden. I don't necessarily see that, the consumer prices rising 3.3%, well above that 2% target. So we'll follow this. But I just want to bring you that important economic data.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, when they talk about all of these latest numbers, I don't even understand it. This is not my wheelhouse. But I never quite understand how they don't consider things like fuel prices, food prices.
Yeah.
How do you not consider that? That's everything. Mm. Fuel, it fuels everything, literally.
Yeah. Funny you say that. I have the numbers, the updated numbers that you're talking about since Biden took office. Gas is up 55.3% and groceries are up 21.2%.
So think about those numbers, and they don't even consider that into this rise in the 3.3%,
yep.
You know?
And real average weekly earnings are down 3.9%.
Boom. So the day after, a Wilmington, Delaware jury found his only living son guilty on all counts of those federal gun charges. Joe Biden, where is he headed? Well, He is headed to a place that I'm envious that he's going there, Puglia, Italy.
Daddy owes you.
Yes. Oh, this is a beautiful place he's headed to. We just, this is where we were, one of the places we were in with our friend Ken Chase, conservativetours.com, Puglia, Italy, one of the most beautiful places in the world. But anyway.
I was just going to ask you, did Joe use conservativetours.com?
I know
book?
They should.
Definitely did not.
But they, Joe is, it's a 3-day meeting in Puglia, Italy with a group of seven, the G7 organization formed by the world's largest industrialized nations. Major topic will be tapping $300 billion worth of frozen Russian assets to strengthen Ukraine at the battlefield. Joe Biden here wants to send more weapons to Ukraine and wants to talk Ukraine and, you know, fending off Russia's invasion, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the big G7 that is upcoming. And number three, as we look at this, ding, 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 I was going to do Joey Chestnut, but you guys grabbed that one. I was looking up Tajikistan and Tajiks, because we actually have quite a population, a large, you know, relatively large population of Tajiks from Tajikistan.
Right.
Which is among the poorest and known as the one of the most radicalized nations in of the Central Asian countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, as ICE arrested these eight men from Tajikistan with potential ties to ISIS in Philadelphia, New York, mainly Philadelphia, New York, and then one in Los Angeles. The arrests happened over the weekend. That's when ICE was asked by the feds, by an FBI special task force, to pick them up. So apparently something, their chatter was escalating.
I'm really curious to know where specifically in Philadelphia they were apprehended. That is the fascinating.
Didn't you say they were in New York, Dawn, right?
Mostly in New York, but one or two here in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I'd like
so
to know
it's
where.
Mostly a New York issue. But if you look up I was looking up all the stories about Philadelphia and how, because we're a sanctuary, and how we especially have welcomed in people from this region. And so that's a question that I have is, locally, are some of the mosques, because that, you know, you think about Islamic activation, if you will. And so people from Tajikistan, they're oppressed and extremely poor. And as the world, because if you think about peace and prosperity, they are in the world at the tail end of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you really do your research on Tajikistan, I didn't know much about it, actually, but you think about what's going on in that country. And so these are young men who are hungry, who are among the poorest, and who are activated as far as militants.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that is a focus, obviously, of the feds.
Yep.
These individuals crossed over our southern border and were allowed in. We talked about in the 6 a.m. hour, one of them used the app that the Biden administration, the CBP app.
Yeah, and that's not Citizens Bank Park, folks.
No, it's not.
Okay?
That's a good point.
All right.
Very good point, Nick.
You know, you come up through the southern border, and we've been talking about this with all the footage that we see. Bill Malusian, who's camped out there all the time. These are, you know, men in the prime of their lives, not necessarily from South America, from Asia, from China, from the Middle East, Turkey, on down the list. And boy, I tell you don't see families that much. You don't see young kids. And here we go. It's, I mean, like I said, these people are not stupid. They know what's going on. And we've been saying they look like militant aged men. And that's exactly what these guys are.
And no longer are people from Mexico the number one group of migrants coming into the country.
No.
That's another stat from Pew.
Yep.
From Pew researchers.
That's correct.
So a lot of questions. Philadelphia. Why Philadelphia? Many speculating, is it because we're prepping for the 250th celebration of our birthday? We're going to be obviously the World Soccer Cup upcoming, or is it because we're a sanctuary city and we are so welcoming here?
Well, and also too, think about how distracted we are as everyday Americans, and also what's going on in the news. If people are dialed into everything in the news we're talking about, Trump trials and Biden trials and the economy and the election. So you got to imagine that the terrorists are probably like, boy, Americans are really distracted with a lot of nonsense right now. You know, maybe you catch the government with their guard down, the borders wide open. Now seems like an opportune time to strike. As you mentioned, you know, the big anniversary coming up. It's an election year. And make no mistake about it, these things are coordinated with the intent of doing certain things based on the timing of, you know, different dates and things like that. And we said this earlier in the 7 o'clock hour. These are not stupid individuals. They're very savvy with computers, explosives. They can train to fly a plane. I mean, this is not your, you know, normal low-level felon in this country.
Yes, sir. None of these eight men are currently charged with terrorism. The FBI still alerted ICE that the men should be arrested due to potential ties to ISIS. So we're watching this story very carefully. And again, this is Central Asia's poorest nation, home to a growing radical Islamist young men. So that's one of the headlines as I was looking at worldwide headlines. We are sponsored this morning by Stiles CFO Services, offering a full suite of accounting and financial services to help really transform your company, big or small. Visit stilescfo.com for your free 21-point assessment. Every organization needs a financial leader. Let Stiles CFO Services be yours. That's our big three.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. Jeannie is in Aston, and Jeannie's our winner today of the Morning Mystery Movie Clip. Jeannie, good morning. What movie did we just play for you?
Good morning. That was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, Jeannie. 33 years ago today. Congratulations, Jeannie. You've got yourself a four-pack of tickets on July 5th to see the Red and Phillies.
Sweet. Thank you.
Try that math again, Nick. 43 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not 1991, 1981.
1981.
Bad math out of me.
Yep.
Wow. All right, we'll come back, get to what's on the cut sheet part two as we continue.
We have just a little tease for what's on the cut sheet part two.
Yeah.
Is Piers Morgan the new Barbara Walters?
No.
Because he made Kevin Spacey cry. And we have that audio.
I have no idea what this is about. I'll find out with the rest of the audience when we return.
Let's talk about a little magic. Maybe you need a little magic in your kitchen, in your home, in your bathroom. You need to give my friends at Kitchen Magic a call. They offer no shortage of solutions for any room in your home. What about a new vanity or a tub shower conversion? You are going to love that new bathroom. Plus, Kitchen Magic offers an industry-leading warranty. They are a 10-year recipient of the Lehigh Valley's top workplaces. Right now, Kitchen Magic is offering 12 months, no payments, no interest financing, and that's not all. Plus, you get 10% off your remodel. Get your free in-home consultation today. KitchenMagic.com. KitchenMagic.com. Get this on the calendar. KitchenMagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Let's get to what's on the cut sheet part two.
What's on the cut sheet
part two? What's on the cut sheet part two? Sponsored by American Heritage Credit Union. Buying a home with the MyCU Home Connection program through American Heritage Credit Union. Unlock exclusive cash rewards, benefits, and discounts. Learn more at AmericanHeritageCU.org/homeconnection. Insured by NCUA, not a member. Join today, NMLS 433-838. Thank you, American Heritage Credit Union, for sponsoring the ever-important Wednesday edition. And what's on the country part two? Yes, I mentioned this earlier, actor Kevin Spacey. In case you don't remember, Spacey was accused of 9 different sexual offenses in a London criminal trial last year. I think it was last July. But he was later found not guilty. So in his first real interview that I've seen, he went on with Piers Morgan, who apparently is the new Barbara Walters because he made Kevin Spacey cry. When they asked about Spacey disclosed that his Baltimore house that he's living in right now is being foreclosed on.
Okay.
Because he owes many millions of dollars in legal bills.
All right.
Apparently, he moved in this house while he was filming the Netflix series House of Cards, which he was later removed from because of these sexual allegations that were later that he was later found not guilty on. This is how that interview goes. You have to see this video too, by the way. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. He puts his head down. He's crying. Very dramatic.
He's an actor, right?
Cut. Well,
he's a good actor.
Cut four. He'll go.
Where do you live now? Well, it's funny you ask that question, because this week, where I have been living in Baltimore, is being foreclosed on. My house is being sold at auction.
Really?
So I have to go back to Baltimore and put all my things in storage.
Really?
So the answer to that question is, I'm not quite sure where I'm going to live now, but I've been in Baltimore for since we started shooting House of Cards there.
So how long is that?
I moved there in 2012.
So this has been your home for 12 years?
Well, not this particular place, but this place has been my home and Evan and Lucy's home since 2016.
Why is it being foreclosed?
Because I can't pay the bills that I owe.
Are you facing bankruptcy?
Been a couple of times when I thought I was going to file, but we've managed to sort of dodge it, at least as of today.
How much money do you have?
None.
Wow.
Really?
Well, I mean, you know, you have some sense of legal bills.
Yeah.
I still owe a lot of legal bills that I have not been able to pay.
You're actually in debt?
Yes.
Do you mind me asking how much you owe?
Piers Morgan.
It's considerable.
Millions?
Many millions, yes. The house itself is many millions.
What are you going to do?
Get back on the horse. Get back on the horse.
So, two questions or two thoughts with that clip. Number one, I paid attention a little bit to the trial last year, and I know he was found not guilty and acquitted, yeah. But isn't there still the kind of public belief out there that he's not necessarily
In the interview, he admitted that he has been guilty of pushing the boundaries, those are his words, and bad behavior sometimes.
Yeah.
Those are also his words. Yeah. So
if that's true, then I don't really feel bad for the guy. The question now becomes, I would assume, at least that's one of the questions I have, is he persona non grata in Hollywood? Is he blacklisted and blackballed, or will he get a chance to
that's an interesting question.
Redeem himself, so to speak, and make a living?
That's an interesting question, right?
Yeah.
Because Hollywood's a weird place.
It is.
You know, they forgave Woody Allen for what may or may not have been some creepy thing where he married his Mia Farrow's, because his kid with Mia Farrow. I mean, it was adopted, but
there's a lot of creepy, disgusting people in Hollywood.
Then there's that what's his nuts? The guy who fled to France.
The
French.
Here we go again.
Hide everybody from us, a bunch of cowards.
Let me ask you this: where would you rather?
Polanski.
Where would you rather from Polanski? Where would you rather live, France or Baltimore?
I'd rather live in Baltimore.
Maybe that's what Kevin Spacey should be most recognized for: surviving a dozen years in Baltimore.
Yeah.
God.
Don't any last thoughts on the Kevin Spacey crying?
Well, he did admit to flying with Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton to the pedophile island.
Okay.
But he is...
As a part of the Clinton Foundation, though, he said.
He says, he admits to that. But I think there's so much swirling around him, and it involves underage or teenage or young boys.
Yep.
And a whole lot swirling.
A lot of swirls.
Yep.
Swirls.
And not any... front holes. We talked about front holes. So
such a good act.
House of Cards. He at one point, I looked it up while you were playing that clip. He would at one point was worth an estimated $70 million.
Wow!
But as an alleged pedophile, I don't know. He doesn't come out and completely deny all this stuff, and so it's just all creepy and icky.
He was great in the movie 21, the card counting movie with the MIT kids.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember they were.
Oh, he's a great actor, Kaiser Sose. I mean, come on, he's a fabulous actor. He was great. He was great in House of Cards.
Yeah,
but you know, Woody Allen also made some good movies. That's all I can say.
Yeah, a lot of talented people in Hollywood that behind the scenes are just, you know.
I had this yesterday and I never got to it because there's always so much. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro was on with what's her face, Jen Psaki,
Inside.
And unloaded on Trump and asked him to stop S-talking America. You know the S-word. Dropping the S-bomb on cable news, our own governor, Josh Shapiro.
Wow.
Cut 12, Phil, go.
Look, I don't know how the conviction will ultimately play out. I know that the good people of Pennsylvania, they care a lot, whether you're in rural communities, urban communities, suburban communities, about, you know, four basic things. They want good schools for their kids. They want safe communities. They want economic opportunities. And they want their freedoms to be protected. And you know what? I think they want to be led by someone who is honest and decent, someone who's actually on their side, like Joe Biden. And all they hear from Donald Trump is a whole bunch of whining about this country. And I think Donald Trump's got to quit whining, got to quit trying to divide us. I mean, consider this, Jen. We're producing more energy than ever before in this nation. We have the strongest economy in the world, and we are beating China for the first time in decades. More people went to work this morning in America than at any other time in our nation's history. So I got a message to Donald Trump and all his negativity and his whining. Stop talking America. This is the greatest country on earth.
There you go.
Where did that come from? Oh, Mr. Montgomery County with an S-bomb inside of Psaki. Hey, my God.
It's
a little decorum, Mr. Governor. Speaking of Pennsylvania.
It's the inside interview, by the way.
Yeah. Let me just give this. I just retweeted this. I want to read this to our audience. Speaking of Pennsylvania, I wasn't going to bring it up, but now that we're going local with Shapiro, the latest NPR Marist poll asked two questions. Pennsylvania poll. Were you in Pennsylvania and your family better off during the Trump presidency or the Biden presidency? 53% say Trump, 44% say Biden. And as far as S talking the country, Mr. Shapiro, the question was the country better off during Trump's presidency or Biden? 52% say Trump, 46% say Biden.
Meanwhile, this report from NBC News, I'm going to assume that they are talking about the wonderful, great city of Philadelphia in this report. This is Cut 17. Phil, go.
Murders are up double digits in L.A., Baton Rouge, Kansas City, Orlando, Wichita, and Colorado Springs. In Pompano Beach, Florida, police and federal agents just wrapped up a six-week sweep targeting guns and drugs, arresting 132 suspects and confiscating dozens of weapons.
Murders up double digits in cities across the country. I know there's a lot of stats that fly around here about murder rates or crime down
other crime
here,
data.
But it's like, I do believe that the murder rate in this city is up.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that.
And some of the stats are very misleading because, again, and we talked about this a couple of months ago with the FBI not giving good, relevant information. I think it was the Washington Times that exposed it. By the way, if you don't charge, you don't prosecute, you know, a lot of these numbers will look down because we're living in a system where there's, right now, there's no repercussions.
Absolutely.
Yep. That's all you got?
One more here.
Okay.
Home ownership. The costs of owning a home in our great year of 2024, the year of our Lord, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Enn says, this is how much home ownership costs are up since 2020. This is Cut 8, Phil, go.
Bankrate found that on average, Americans are spending $18,000 a year to own and maintain their home. That is obviously a lot of money. When you think about it, it's almost like the cost of buying a used car a year. This is 26% more than in 2020. And of course, this is all on top of your mortgage payment, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about the cost of energy, the cost of property taxes. And the biggest drivers, according to Bankrate, are the fact that it's gotten more expensive to maintain a home and also the cost of home insurance.
There you go.
You know, I was saying this to a couple of people yesterday because I was talking with some people about mortgages. And, you know, you say, well, it's a great time to be a homeowner. If you're selling, not a great time to be a buyer. But here's the thing. If you're a seller, I mean, let's say you bought your home in 2017 and it was worth $400,000 and now it's worth $5.5 million. That's great. But, you know, if you sell it, where do you go?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, everything else is so expensive now that it's not like you're really cashing in on a major profit 7 years later.
One more here on the thing for home ownership. Vice President Kamala Harris says getting housing prices under control, it's not going to come until the second term. So
yeah,
we're dangling this carrot in front of the American people. Cut 10, Phil, go.
There are certainly some other issues that we need to deal with. I mean, part of the second term agenda starting now is again, what we've got to do in getting under control of this, of the housing price, and both in terms of affordability to be able to buy a house and rent. We got to get more work done in terms of what we can do around dealing with, access to capital. That's work we've been doing, helping people have a leg up and be able to start, you know, a family, start thinking about buying a home and not worrying about debt.
There you go. So
stop worrying about DEI.
That'll come in a second term.
Yeah.
So vote for us if you want housing prices to get better.
Right. And the stock market could crash in 2025 as well. So cool. All right. Thank you very much, Kamala. 855. Well, no, we're out of time. Let's get to, it's 9:52. Let's find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show.
Yes, we're working, obviously, on the big story of an alleged group of terrorists. Some of them allegedly were right here in Philadelphia. So that's one of the reports. So we have some new details on that. Looking at Merrick Garland, the vote is supposed to come down within the hour as the House is expected to vote on whether or not he should be held in contempt of court. Because, number one, he won't release, or DOJ will not release, that Biden audio that we've talked a lot about. So we have that coming out. So much local developing and breaking today. So we'll break it all down for you coming up on the Dawn Show.
All right, Dawn Show in 7 minutes. But what happened today in music history?
What happened on this day in music history? Music history, history on Kale & Company.
Today, Wednesday, June 12th. Welcome to the 100th edition of Today in Music History.
Wow.
That's correct.
Woo.
This is number 100.
Look at the cake.
Birthdays include Brad Delp from Boston, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, and John Wetton. Singles include The Cars, Let's Go from 1979. Albums include Megadeth's Killing Is My Business and Business Is Good from 1985. Also, in 89, the Elvis Autoland Museum opened at Graceland. And in 68, the movie Speedway starring Elvis and Nancy Sinatra opened in theaters. God. But lastly, since this is the 100th edition of Today in Music History, time for another top five. So today, my top five concert scene ever. So number five, July 13th, 1988, David Lee Roth and Poison in Madison Square Garden. My second show ever, and David Lee Roth supporting the Skyscraper Tour.
Look at the ticket
stubs. Side note, my first show was Joan Jett at my college gym in 1987. Number four, July 29th, 1992, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, and Faith No More at Giant Stadium. Both GNR and Metallica did complete full sets. Number three, June 10th and 11th, 1994. Pink Floyd at Yankee Stadium. I went to night two because I won the tickets off the radio.
Uh-oh.
Number two, July 14th, 1998. Page and Plant outside Boston. 2+ hours of Led Zeppelin. Absolutely incredible. And number one, actually a local show. September 22nd, 2002. The Rolling Stones at the Tower Theater.
Wow.
And that's all I got today. See you tomorrow for Kale & Company. I'm Phil Lomquist.
Oh, nice of the guy to go to a local venue. Oh, he doesn't go to Yankee Stadium and the Meadowlands and Giant Stadium. Nice work, Philip. 100 episodes in the books.
Yep,
there you go. All right. The Dawn Show is coming up next. She's well past 100 episodes of The Dawn Show, and it's just about 4.5 minutes out. Stay tuned. She's next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6, and as John Fetterman would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.